Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hello, Victoria.
Hi, Hannah.
That's my seductive voice.
I know. I felt very seduced.
I'm trying out a new look for season three. Seductive.
Wow. Let us know. Wow, I've lost it. I'm done. I'm out.
Look, I just really, you know, she's blushing.
It works. You should put that on your like Hinge profile thing, like where you can
put the voice note. Absolutely nobody listens to those voice notes, nor would they want
to. Yes, they do. I heard it on Greg James.
What? People playing their Hinge voice notes?
Well, no. Greg James was recorded to people's
voice notes
for their Hinge, being like, hi, I'm Greg James, and this person is great, the kind of thing. And like tried to be like, and it didn't work for either of them, but
that's because nobody listens.
Just like, you know, maybe that person thought that they knew Greg James, and that's, I would go on a date with them if I thought they knew Greg James.
That's true. For anyone outside of the UK, Greg James is our, you know, radio national treasure, 6'4", tall drink of water.
He's 6'4". Wow, that's a fantastic fact that you knew straight off the bat.
Look, tall gals know tall guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, but
we love you, Greg.
We love you, Greg. Please do our voice notes. We're here for season three with
Greg James.
We're doing guests now. Vic's lost it. No, with a whole new type of episode. This is very exciting for
us. I know. This is just nervous laughter because, you know, I like a structure. I'm very set in my ways, and this could go either way.
I think it's going to go great because we're doing...
Of course it's going to go great because we are great.
And we're doing a public service, I think.
A lot like Greg James.
Yes. Yes, he also, you know, bakes a ridiculous number of cookies and eats them and thinks about, you know, whether they used bloody, like, baking soda or baking powder or what the hell they used in there. Always soda.
Mirror soda. That was our last season opener.
Now we're focusing on bicarb of soda. So we wanted to do this. We've talked about this for a long time because we think that there's obviously for loads of classic recipes, there's a million recipes out there and it's really hard to know which one to pick or which one's your favorite. So we thought we would do this for chocolate chip cookies. How did we come to our whose recipes we wanted to pick, Tori?
Well, we were deeply overwhelmed.
But we are just generally in life, anyway.
Yeah, we are
just
generally
stumbling through life,
overwhelmed. But there are so many chocolate chip cookie recipes out there. So I think we had a look at other people's work. when other people on the internet were trying to figure out what their favorite cookie was, what recipes did they test?
Yes.
And then when we went back to them, I saw a woman on TikTok who's trying to make every chocolate chip cookie recipe on the internet, which is a lot.
Wow. How long does she have?
Too long is the answer. And she has a spreadsheet and everything. But the first thing we did was we set some boundaries, yes, which is very rare for us.
In life and in the podcast. Yes. I have no boundaries as a human.
No boundary. We are boundaryless here.
Seamless and boundaryless.
On our little misery island, we are boundaryless. All the cookies that we're going to be talking about are... Hannah's lost it.
I'm just like imagining if Vic ever got a job for like Tourism England.
I would never take that job.
The shit you would come up with. Just don't. Stay where you are.
Don't bother, lads. It's not worth it. Right. Less about me working for the Home Office.
You have that
they
vibe.
They would probably employ me to keep it. I do. Me, Suella.
Pretty.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Less about the
government. We're here to talk about nice things.
History. Chocolate chip cookies. The only chocolate chip cookies we're talking about are... We're being purists here. I'm not like the Home Office. We're not letting
anyone wade in with their nuts or their I don't know what else would you put
no
in.
Tahini.
No tahini, you know, random shit. No zests or anything. Coming in here taking the chocolate chips jobs.
We're not diluting the population of the chocolate chip cookie. So just chocolate and cookie.
Yeah.
Nothing else. For this podcast, for this episode, that is not to say that we don't appreciate cookies of other ilk. We love them. We want to eat them.
Yeah.
But for this, that was our boundary. So we had to think about the books that we've cooked from in the previous two seasons. Mm-hmm. And chefs we know are good at that shit. Yeah. And... basically, we both cooked the same four recipes.
Yes.
From four chefs. And we're going to talk you through them in a minute. But first, before we introduce you to the four chefs that we and recipes that we talked about, Hannah, what is your ideal chocolate chip cookie vibe?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. I'm just terribly glad you asked that, Victoria. I think mine has to be quite chunky. Quite like high. I don't like too big and too round. I'm fine about the round. Too big and too flat. I'm not a big fan of. I like quite a little bit puffy. Mm-hmm. And then in the inside, like maybe a little bit gooey. Like a little bit.
You want the chocolate to be like melted?
I love the chocolate being a bit melty. Obviously, that's only, you know, ever a transient state, unfortunately. But yes, I like a little bit of A little bit soft in the middle, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, but crispy on the edges. Golden.
And quite high.
Quite high. And I like big old chunks of chocolate in there. I don't like mini chocolate chips. Those shitty little chocolate chips you buy pre-chipped.
They don't melt.
They don't melt. They're just crap. They don't, you know, it's not a little party in your mouth.
And they taste like ass.
They taste, I don't know which ones you've been buying.
I haven't. This is the problem.
So yes, that is my ultimate chocolate chip cookie. What do you go for? What do you look for in a cookie?
I'm opposite to you.
Well, nobody would be surprised.
No. Well, look, don't get me wrong. I don't like a really big, flat boy. But I do like a thinner... I don't like them too high.
Okay.
I don't want them to look like a scone or a fucking rock cake.
Yeah.
But crispy around the edges, chewy around the middle, chewy around the middle. I'm not like me. Chewy.
Yeah.
And I would prefer the chocolate not to be melty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like a bit of a bite with the chocolate. I'm the same with a pan au chocolat. I want to be able to, like, you know, snap the chocolate.
Right, okay.
Like the big chunk of chocolate. I don't really want it to be melty.
This is interesting. Is it not just melty when it's warm and then it just solidifies when it's cold?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, like a good pan of chocolate or a good chocolate chip cookie, like the, you know, still get that.
If snap.
If crap chocolate has melted, it will remain like kind of like, gritty and bad. And what's your chocolate? What chocolate do you like? A dark, bittery chocolate in your chocolate chip, or do you like a milk or somewhere in the middle?
I usually like a little bit of a mix, maybe like a bit of milk and a bit of dark. But if I had to choose, I would say milk probably. A lot of these recipes, interestingly, used dark, didn't they?
Yeah.
Which I guess is a preference, but I think, you know, it's whatever you like, right? You can do whatever you want, as long as you stay within the recipe for this podcast to cook, because we wanted to follow them to the letter. Yeah, I think a milk if I had to choose, but like a good quality milk. Are you the same?
And I think that yes. I don't mind a dark chocolate. No. But again, it's a quality thing. It's a quality thing, you know. I feel like, as we know, I love Cadbury chocolate, but I don't think things that like works in a cookie because it's too milky to me. Like, it's too, you know, it doesn't have the right juxtaposition between the like sweet cookie and the chocolate hit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, this is interesting. I think we have completely opposite tastes. We didn't.
But this is good.
This is why you get a balanced view, dear listener. Okay, that's fine. We'll move on.
So now I will tell you the four recipes that we cooked, and then we'll go through them.
Yeah.
So we firstly did Felicity Cloak, who writes a column for The Guardian called How to Make the Perfect Blank.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, we did her How to Make the Perfect Chocolate Chip Cookies.
You'd be shocked, yeah. Stay with us.
Ravneet Gill, whose book we covered in season 2, The Pastry Chef's Guide, she has a recipe for the perfect chocolate chip cookie.
Well, I think Ravneet was a really interesting one to include because her book is so classic. Packed, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like a really definitive guide, and she's obviously such an experienced pastry chef. I think between her and maybe like someone like Dory Greenspan or someone like that, but Ravneet kind of won out on the creds.
Yeah,
chip creds.
We then also did Alton Brown's The Chewy, his is called, chocolate chip cookie, which came up just in a lot of lists of, you know, the best one.
Yeah.
And then finally, my number one bae, Kenji Lopez Alt, who has a fucking dissertation on the Serious Eats website about cookies. And so we could not include that.
Yeah, because he put so much goddamn work into it. I was literally looking at it last night because I baked the second half of the batch. And my God, I was scrolling. I was getting cramp in my fingers from like scrolling down the page. He needs to jump to recipe bussin. You need to jump to recipe bussin. Kenji, if you're listening, please put one in. But, you know, you can't fault how much thought he's put into it.
And work. But anyway, we'll come back to him.
Lots to say.
So, Felicity Cloak. Chocolate Chip FC. Great name for a band. Or football team.
Football team, yeah.
So, I feel like hers, of the four we did, was the simplest.
Yes.
Right? It seemed like a very standard cookie recipe.
Yeah.
She wrote it in 2012.
It had to be one of her first columns, right? Because similar to us, when we're thinking about things that you want to, I don't know, the classic recipes that everyone makes, or it's probably one of the first things that you want to bake when you're like, I don't know, a teenager or older or whatever. I'd love to see where this like falls in her repertoire
I wonder if she'll visit it again, but that's a, you know, question for another time. But she 2012, and she does a similar thing to Kenji, but obviously in a shorter, because it was, you know, published in a newspaper. Where she goes through different recipes and talks about the one thing that comes up so much in these recipes is a Toll House cookie.
Yes.
Which I don't know what that is.
I only learned about it from friends when Monica's looking for like one of Phoebe's relatives' chocolate chip cookie recipes, and Phoebe makes out like it's this like much treasured family recipe, and then it turns out that she's like, I think she says like it's like Toll House or something, and she puts some accent on it, and Monica's like, you mean it's a Toll House cookie? And I think they're basically on the back of like a pack of something,
right?
So it's seen as like the real like widespread classic recipe. But US listeners, if I've misunderstood that, let me know.
How did the Toll House
come into your lives?
I read or saw once that is how a lot of like, you know, family recipes in American families come to be, like they were written on the back of, like, there's a tomato sauce, like pasta sauce one, I think, that's similar. That everyone's like, oh, this is my grandma's recipe, but actually it was the only brand of tomatoes or whatever that was out, and that had a recipe on it, and then everyone thinks it's the best one.
I love that, which I love too.
I think that's like, you know, it's a nostalgia thing. So Felicity Cloak's recipe, she uses salted butter,
yes,
which is very unusual in baking in general, right?
Yeah. But
definitely in all the other recipes just use unsalted.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think I've said it before, but I tend to like just ignore that a lot of the time when I use salted. Because I think salt is what's missing a lot of the time in recipes. Mm. And there's no harm. Salted butter is fucking delicious. Throw it in wherever you can. Lather yourself up with it.
Wow.
Told you I'm being seductive.
She uses light brown sugar,
mm-hmm,
and granulated sugar. So it's usually in these recipes, there's two sugars, right?
Yeah.
A brown and a granulated. So she uses light brown, and she uses a 50-50 ratio. So 75 grams light brown, 75 grams granulated, some vanilla extract, just one egg, 240 grams of plain flour, bicarbonate of soda, and she suggests dark chocolate chopped 170 grams.
Yeah.
So that's it. And then you basically just mix the wet ingredients, well, you beat the butter and sugar, mm-hmm, until just combined, she says.
Yeah.
Whisk together the dry ingredients, add them in after you've added the egg. Mm-hmm. Chill overnight.
Yes.
After you've added the chocolate in, obviously. So she's an overnight chiller. She says, or it could be up to 72 hours.
Yes, which is a common theme as well, isn't it? It's like almost like the longer the better, a lot of them say.
Yes. Golf ball size rounds, bake for 15 minutes until golden but not browned, and then you can sprinkle them with sea salt, which she says is optional.
Yeah.
For the top.
But you should.
But you should always, even though you've used salted butter. Mm. These were, for me, these were very high. These were the highest cookies I made. They were very, like, cakey.
Yes, they were quite cakey. Now, I know I did say that I like a high cookie, but they were just a smidgen too high for me.
Yeah.
And a smidgen too, like, almost like a scony kind of vibe in the middle.
Yes, like a rock cake.
Yeah, with chocolate chips in.
Yeah, and the batter, I didn't freeze it. I refrigerated it overnight. So, yeah, it got probably about 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard.
Yes.
Like, it went very hard. And so it was like scooping, which is fine, scooping it out. But then maybe that was what contributed to it. They didn't spread as much as some of the other cookies.
Yeah.
But yeah, very high, very cakey. I made a first batch. I think I left them in too long. Mm-hmm. And they were probably a little bit overcooked. But even the second batch I did, but they were fine, but a bit dry.
A bit dry. Yeah, they didn't blow me away. We're going to rank these at the end so that everyone knows what our favourites are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually underbaked mine a little bit because I was slightly tipsy when I was baking them.
Nice.
And it was right before bed and I really wanted to get to bed. So it was because of the aforementioned tipsiness. The Tipsy Baker would be my like blog name probably. Because blogs are really current and cool. And not my like TikTok name or anything. Yes, and I slightly underbaked them, but I did think the same. A little bit too high, a little bit too cakey, just didn't blow me away. Just fine.
Do you know what my thoughts are on this?
What? On my alcoholism?
No. Come back to that. I think that cookie technology has just come on since 2012. You know, I think there's more out there in terms of, you know, recipes to test and things to change. And maybe people want something a bit different now. I think maybe back then that, to me, it kind of feels like she's trying to emulate like a Maryland cookie, which is very like crunchy.
Yes, I was going to bring up Maryland's earlier to be like, where do
which
we
are great, by the way.
They're fine.
I love them. Like, you know, for a shop bought.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they're good. You know, you're never going to get like a chewy chocolate chip cookie from that you buy, right? But I feel like that she's trying to emulate that, and didn't love it. But they were very easy to make and don't require a stand mixer. She says you can just do it all with a wooden spoon if you want to.
They're fine, not bad. You could definitely play around with them, but yeah, I think Felicity needs to revisit. Maybe she needs to take some throw some Alison Roman, you know, the chunky shortbread things into her list of, you know, things to take tips from.
Agreed. Or from Ravneet.
Look at that segue, guys. This is what we came here for.
Season three.
It's like Tim Lovejoy and Sunday brunch.
Did you just compare me to Tim Lovejoy?
Yeah, because I want to make you mad. Vic looks really disappointed and now I regret the joke. Anyway, so Ravneet talks about in the intro about how she got slightly obsessed with perfecting cookies during her time at Llewellyn's. Is that how we say that word? I never know. Llewellyn. This is one of those names I don't know how to pronounce. She says cookies are personal, which I do agree with this. Just like pizza. I think pizza's personal. Cookies are also personal.
I like a personal pizza.
I do, but I like 10 of them. She says that she likes a cookie that can hold its shape, but when you break in the middle, it's got a slight softness to it. So I think me and Rav are on the same page here. And she says she likes a generous amount of dark chocolate and a touch of sea salt. But she said that she finds one of the biggest factors that affects her cookies, other than the recipe, is the resting period in the fridge. And she says to do a little test yourself. If you don't let it firm up, preferably overnight, it's going to be chewier and thinner, but the butter will seep out and then you lose some of the flavour. And then what she says, which I find the most interesting, is to shape it before you put it in the fridge. And that affects the final result as well. And I have to say that I'm inclined to agree with her, because of, it's just an arse when you're like with the list or whatever, and you've just got this big hunk of dough and you're like digging into it. Like, what are you using there?
It's like an ice cream that's been, you know, freezer burn or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, so she says she thinks this is going to be, this is her perfect cookie. So she uses...
Although, on that, I don't know who has the fucking space to put a whole baking sheet full of, cookies in their, balls in there. I ended up putting mine in like a tart case, close together, just because I needed space in my I didn't have any space in my fridge because I don't have a huge fridge and, you know, it's at premium.
Yeah, I guess they don't need to be spaced out at that point.
No.
It might be easier to, like, you know, I don't know. But that's a good point. And these make 14 to 15, right? So there's mm-hmm. a few of the lads in there. So this is unsalted butter softened, dark brown soft sugar, as opposed to Felicity's light, some caster sugar, an egg, baking powder, and bicarb of soda. She puts malt and sea salt in the dough, which I think is interesting, and I'm here for it. And then flour, obviously, and then she says dark bittersweet chocolate chopped into large chunks as well. So she creams the butter and both sugars, either in a mixer or with a wooden spoon, until paler but not fluffy. So I think her and Felicity are the same on that one, like, don't overmix the...
Yeah.
Because it causes, apparently, according to her, if you overmix at that point, it causes the cookie to deflate later when it's cooking. When it's cookie? When the cookie. When the cookie. Oh, fine. Then she says to add in the egg, beat it quickly. Then you mix together the dry, so the baking powder, bicarb, mold and flour. And you fold that in. And then you add in the chopped chocolate and fold it in as well. Lots of folding. And then she says immediately scoop out 60 grams portions of the cookie dough. I love the measurement. I love knowing how, like, golf ball again. I don't know. I don't play golf.
Yeah, luckily when I was doing Felicity Cloaks, Stephen, my husband's dad, was here, who does play golf, and I was like, does this is like a golf ball size? And he was like checking them for me. So I was lucky, but yeah, I agree. And if there's one thing that I've learned from you as a baker, as a pastry person, it's to fucking measure your cookies so they're equal sizes, but also and also just so they, you know, match the recipe. And I think that has changed my cookie game. So thanks,
cookie. You're welcome. I don't think I can take credit for that, but that's fine. Then she says, so boil them up, chill in the fridge overnight, then next day preheat the oven, make sure they space out, and then you bake them for 12 minutes or 14 if baking from frozen. She says you want the middle to be ever so slightly underset. Allow them to cool. They continue firming up. And once cooled, eat them. Eat them. She says to eat them. Can you imagine? The cheek. You could keep the balls of dough up to 2 days in the fridge or 2 weeks in the freezer. Mine took slightly longer in the oven. I think like 2 minutes or so. But my oven, I think I've previously mentioned, is a piece of shite. So that one, I don't think I can blame Rav for that one. But I really, really liked these ones. I think I agree with Rav. I think Rav and I, you know, we have many things in common. But
great hair.
Mm-hmm. And I just think we have the same taste and they ticked all the boxes for me. I really, really like them.
I like them too. So here's what I've discovered in this process. This is just, again, it's a personal opinion. I prefer light brown sugar to dark brown sugar. There's something about that, like, very deep kind of toffee caramel taste that doesn't, it's not for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, But I did really like these. I thought that their mine came out great. The recipe worked really well. I was very happy with them. I thought they tasted better, like cold, like a couple of days, or not a couple of days, but a few hours after they cooled down. Mm. Like we tried one straight out of the oven, and it didn't hit for me. I was like, okay, they're fine. But then an hour or two later, after they cooled down, I tried them again. I was like, oh, actually,
yeah,
these are great. Really like them. They kept really well as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't keep very long because, you know, cookies.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, they were lush.
Go Rav.
No notes.
No amends. We'll see where this falls.
Where they land. So the next one is Alton Brown, Texture Like Sun.
Who is Alton Brown?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Should I feel like
he was an American TV personality.
Yeah.
He was born Alton Crawford Brown Jr. God.
Alton Brown is like a TV personality in America, right?
Yeah. What's funny is that when you Google Alton Brown, the first question on Google is, does Alton Brown consider himself a chef? That's so cutting. But apparently he doesn't identify as a cook or a chef at all. His pronouns are not cook or chef. Sorry. No shade. He prefers to be called a foodist. That's ridiculous.
A foodist.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Like he's against food? Like he's a racist or a...
I think more like a botanist.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But he also went to the New England Culinary... Oh, wow. New word that I can't say, unlocked. Anyway, he went to school to do cooking. Oh, so he was on, like, Iron Chef.
Oh, God.
Worst cooks in America. Anyway, he got mentioned in a lot of the like cookie discourse that we looked into.
It's been a grueling couple of weeks.
But this one is called the chewy chocolate chip cookie. Mm-hmm. The chewy for sure. And he says this is actually based on another back of the pack recipe from the Nestle morsel bag. I don't know what that is, but I'm guessing it's some kind of cookie. maybe it's a chocolate chip. It was called morsel.
Yeah.
I probably should have looked that up, shouldn't I? Sorry, everyone. I was really prepared for this. I did make a lot of cookies, though.
She's high on cookies.
One of the funniest things for me from this recipe, so it's on his website, and his website has a like a US and a metric toggle.
Right, yes.
So you can see what it is in ounces or metric. But what's funny is when he gets to egg, he suggests in the metric version he wants 50 grams of egg. And oh,
great.
Grams.
It's always a surprise when you crack an egg just quite what the weight is.
So his thing for chewiness is that he uses bread flour and he uses one whole egg and then an extra egg yolk.
What weight does that have to be?
20 okay. egg yolk. And then replaces the egg white that you've lost with milk, whole milk.
Oh, God. What's he doing?
So it's, and then he does...
At this point, I should clarify that I didn't make this.
No, Hannah didn't make these.
But I did eat one, so that's what... Victoria kindly made some and brought them to the office so that I could eat one. I had made Ravneet's ones the day before and did not think to do the same for her, so she had to go home and make the... She's made all four, and I've only made three.
I don't often go into our office, and... I was, when Hannah said she's making those Ravneet ones, I was like, oh, that's great, because hopefully she'll bring one to the office. Because last time I was in the office, she brought me some Claire Saffitz, the salty halva brownies, whatever they were.
That's right.
Anyway, I did not get around. I had to make my own Ravneet. But anyway, she's eaten them but not made them. He uses light brown sugar and granulated sugar, but in 80-20%, so 8 ounces of, or 227 grams of light brown sugar, and then only 57 or 2 ounces of granulated sugar. Right. So
okay, yeah,
that's interesting, and it's that's all to make it, you know, chewy. Also, the difference with these ones are you only chill them for an hour.
Controversial, Alton.
Yeah, very controversial. Also, Alton demands that you sift the flour, salt, and baking soda on a paper plate.
That is so specific.
Oh, and then you use the paper plate as a slide to put it into the wet ingredients when you mix it.
Slide, like, like down.
I did not use a paper plate, I used a bowl, because...
You're normal.
Absolutely not. You also you melt the butter for his as well.
Oh, I don't know about the science behind any of this. This is all sounding very dodgy to me. Melting the butter.
Well, let me tell you about a little man called Kenji. He'll tell you all about that in his 10,000 word dissertation.
I'm the one who's going to have to talk about that. I'm going to keep it brief, pals.
So yeah, you melt the butter. Can I also, actually... Before I talk about this, can I say how annoying it is that the standard for recipes is that you say what you need to preheat the oven to at the beginning of the recipe. And that happens so often that when you're making, and then it's like, preheat the oven, but then it's like, but then chill these for 24 hours. What do you want
me
to do?
My pet peeve.
Like,
absolute pet peeve.
It's so annoying. There's a cost of living crisis. Having the oven on costs a lot of money, and that's very annoying when it comes to this.
And you think, if you've missed this, what else have you missed in our lives, Alton?
Yes, exactly.
Do you think Alton has a brother called Moulton?
He prefers cakes where the chocolate comes out the middle.
Sorry.
His recipe is all about, like, he does it in like minutes for like how long you beat things rather than like till they're cream, whatever. So you melt the butter, add it to the stand mixer with your sugars, and beat with the paddle attachment on medium speed for 2 minutes. So I did that, and then you mix the eggs, milk, and vanilla in a separate bowl, and obviously you've got your sifted paper plate situation,
obviously.
So put the egg mixer in, and then you use your paper plate as a slide to gradually integrate the dry ingredients. Chill the dough for 1 hour. And then, he says scoop the dough into 1.5 ounce portions. Okay. I don't know what that is in grams, because I used the ounce setting on my scales.
It's a revelation.
Because I just couldn't be bothered. And then 15 minutes with a rotate for the pans halfway.
Okay. 15 is long too.
It is. But they were great.
They were?
loved them. I loved these ones. And I froze some. I made a whole batch because he says in the preamble that he does not recommend making half or double batches. Make a whole batch, bake what you want, portion, freeze the rest.
Thanks, Alton.
So that's what I did, Alt. And already baked some from frozen when we had some friends over a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was. it's finished the blow of cookies and they were great from the freezer. Generally, I loved them.
They were thinner. They were slightly thinner, weren't they? And slightly more spread.
Yes. Yes.
They were. And they were definitely chewy.
Definitely chewy. They definitely hit that brief.
Alton loves to hit a brief. That's what we always say about him. Despite only learning about him 5 minutes ago.
He really hit that America's worst cook brief right on the nose. Just to say, I think he was the presenter of that show. I don't think he's America's worst cook, because that would be a real disservice to people listening.
Yeah, we just picked the really shitty one.
Yeah, thinner, definitely chewy. Not as chewy as I thought they were gonna be.
No,
I'll be honest. I don't know if I wanted like a, you know, there was going to be like a chewy sweet kind of situation, but they kept really, really well.
Yeah.
As well. Cause yeah, that's a big batch.
You're a big batch. I'm a bad batch.
I'm a boss batch, actually. yeah. Love them. You know, spoiler alert, they were my fave.
Oh. Okay, I won't spoiler alert. I think they were a tiny bit soft for me, a tiny bit too chewy for me, because as previously discussed, I would like a higher. Take me higher. There must be a higher cookie, and it's misty cloaks because they touch the ceiling.
What's the ultimate like millimeter? Is it like, you know, Greg James is just high enough, but LeBron James? Too high.
Oh, never too high. Never too high.
Never too high. Never too high.
Well, pals, we've arrived at Kenji Lopez Alton. Kenji Lopez Alton Brown.
That's when you meet the two. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Extra like fun.
Buckle up, because we've got a long ride in front of us. We've got many steps, we've got many dishes to make dirty. Sorry, just trying to be seductive again. let's get these dishes dirty. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm delirious. So this appears on the Serious Eats website, probably other websites as well. Don't know, but it's like the Food Lab best chocolate chip cookie. I actually don't even know why she's laughing anymore, but anyway, so he gives all these cookie facts before you even get to the recipe. I will give you a brief overview of them. Number one, more butter equals wider spread and more tenderness. That just sounds like relationship advice.
Are you still being seductive?
Spread them. Sorry. Cookie fact number two, creamed butter equals lighter and firmer. Melted butter equals denser and chewier. So that's where your mate Alton's coming from. He wants the chewy, so that's why the melted butter. He's still going on about butter. Butter gives the most flavour. We know, Kenji, you've talked about it for the last three steps. Number four, browned butter equals less moisture and less dissolved sugar equals less
evolved sugar.
Did I say evolved sugar?
I think it's a devolved sugar. We're back to the home office.
I thought I said evolved sugar, that they were like now growing like teeth and hair or something. Sorry, that's gross. So browned butter equals less moisture and less dissolved sugar equals less caramel flavour. He's really thought a lot of this through. Well done, Kenji. Extra egg whites, taller cookies, extra yolks, fudgier cookies. I don't know if I can actually keep going through all of these. They're so long.
No, it honestly, we'll post it in the on Instagram, on our website, whatever.
He just really bangs on before. Anyway, I find all that ironic because they were a fucking disaster.
Yeah, mine were too.
Twice they were a disaster for me. Twice. I let them rest in the fridge. Oh my God. Listeners, please be glad that I didn't continue with reading the facts, because there are no fewer than 20 of those. Wow. Anyway, yeah, you can read it for yourself. But yeah, basically I let mine rest for overnight, and then I also let them rest for a couple of days, which he said
because
he could
do. Because he suggests that, right? He suggests the longer the better for resting.
Yeah, and then... I feel like I need a couple of days rest, so I stop reading facts at our poor long suffering listeners.
Love you guys.
Love you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm surprised you're still with us. Also, this okay, look, we'll talk about it. We'll get to the method, but I'm just surprised it's got a 4.6 rating. What were we both doing wrong? We'll talk about that. Anyway, so Kenji Brown's the
what rating by who? By who? By whom?
The series eats people, readers, I guess. It's 130 like ratings.
And, I'm in the Kenji cult, and I will subscribe to his cult all day long. But I was very disappointed. Our household is a Kenji household, and there was a lot of excitement for these cookies, and we were disappointed in the end. And I think it was me. I think I did something wrong. Anyway,
no,
tell us about the recipe. Didn't.
We both couldn't have done something wrong. Anyway, so Kenji Brown's butter for these, and he gives you very specific instructions of how to do that, which you can read yourself. But what I thought was interesting was that when he's done browning the butter, you whisk in an ice cube to cool it down, which I also thought was questionable because you're technically adding moisture in there. You're adding water in there. He also says that you can whisk it over an ice bath. Maybe that might have yielded better results, but who knows. You mix together your dry ingredients.
You then put the butter, the browned butter in the fridge, right?
Yes,
to
sorry.
Cool it right
to
down.
Cool completely.
Which I think is, was where I went wrong. But I will come back to that.
Yeah. He says about 20 minutes. I think later on he says it should be like firming around the edges. Mm-hmm. You whisk together flour, baking soda, salt in a large bowl. He just uses regular flour. But interestingly, rather than creaming the butter and sugar like you've done in, I think, all the other recipes, what he does is he whisks the granulated sugar with eggs and vanilla extract in the stand mixer with a whisk attachment. And you have to get it really, you have to get loads of air in there until it's like pale brownish yellow and it falls off the whisk in thick ribbons, which he says takes about 5 minutes. It took me longer to get the thick ribbons. But I thought that was interesting because I would usually do that for like brownies or something. I wouldn't do it for cookies. Then you're changing the attachment. I told you to have your washing up liquid at the ready because you're going to run through a few dishes here.
Get your KP going.
That just made me snot. Sorry.
You're still being seductive.
No, I deserve it. You put your paddle attachment onto the mixer. When your brown butter mixture has cooled, he says it should be starting to turn opaque again and firm around the edges. So now with the paddle attachment, you mix the brown sugar and cool brown butter. So your granulated sugar's off, whisked with your eggs. Now your brown sugar's coming in with your brown butter. And you add that to the egg mixture in the stand mixer. Oh my God, mixer. Then you mix on medium speed to combine about 15 seconds. He's so specific about this.
Yeah.
Then you add in the flour and you mix that until barely combined, up another 15 seconds. And then you add in your chocolate, which he uses semi-sweet chocolate, roughly chopped. So I think everyone uses chopped chocolate, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone uses the arse chips that you were denouncing earlier on. And then he says, transfer to an airtight container and you refrigerate at least overnight in up to 3 days.
Oh, no. Alton Brown actually says chips, but I used chopped chocolate because I'm not a fucking heathen, you know?
Yeah, too right. Alton, you are the worst cook or whatever. Anyway, okay, so now you're ready to bake. Whenever you're ready to bake, whether that's, you know, next day or up to 3 days later, you use a 1 ounce ice cream scoop.
The fuck is a 1 ounce ice cream scoop, lads?
I don't know. To put the cookie dough on the parchment-lined bake sheet. He says each bowl should measure approximately 3 tablespoons in volume and you should be able to fit 6 to 8 on a sheet.
That's big. 3 tablespoons is a lot of tablespoons, I thought.
Yeah, it is. It's really big. And then he makes you bowl them and then you tear the bowl in half to reveal a rougher surface and you stick them back together with the rough sides facing outward.
For craggy edges. I don't care about craggy edge. I didn't understand what that did. I did it because it's what the recipe told me to do.
But I didn't understand where you were meant to stick them back together. Like, I stuck like the roundy ends back to back, but I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing there, really. This one at the
picture. Yeah, I think that was right.
Okay.
Like a little butterfly.
Yeah. And then you bake them, he says, until golden brown, that's Alton and Moulton's third brother, still soft, brown around the edges, but still soft, 13 to 16 minutes, you do a halfway rotate, and then when the cookies are still hot and out of the oven, you sprinkle very lightly with coarse salt, and you gently press it down to embed. Again, an unnecessary step. You don't need to be pressing anything down. It's kind of melty on top. It's going to just, like, come on. Jesus, give these cookies some space. You're micromanaging them. But yeah, so mine just melted all over the place. They completely spread out. It felt like there was way too much butter in there. They were kind of greasy looking. They just never, like, firmed up.
Yeah.
And they just spludged everywhere. The first batch, like, inedible. And, like, I was baking them for ages. Not inedible, because I did eat some. They were baking for ages. I just took them out of the oven in the end, and they were just, like, a gooey mess.
Floppy little socks, yeah.
Hey, I thought we said we weren't going to use my nickname. and even the one after 3 days... were mildly better, and they held their shape a bit more, and you could kind of shape them when they came out of the oven, but still loads of the middle, like, stuck to the parchment paper and stuff because it was just too gooey. It was like there was way too much fat in there. I just don't know what was going on.
Mine was similar. I did the same thing. I did again after about 24 hours, did my first batch, and they were just, it may have just been one cookie. Like, they spread so much. They didn't, again, they were just floppy. The middle's, like, never cooked. Like, they were stuck to the bottom. I mean, you know, they tasted fine, like, nice. Like, the taste was good. And then I baked them again another day later. And what I did, much smaller balls. Yes. Much smaller balls. Golf ball sized little. I mean, maybe that's
with
three.
Steve Stab still there to tell you how big they were.
I FaceTimed him and I was like, hey.
How are these balls looking?
And they came out a bit better. Still spread quite a lot. Were very, like, soggy is the word. Anyway, I like the taste fine. Probably a bit too, like, butterscotchy and caramelly for me. Here's what I think for me went wrong.
Yeah.
Is I looked on the comments on that Serious Eats article to see what might have happened. And there's a lot of people saying your butter has to be firm.
Okay.
Like, that's the problem. Because I did think when I finished making the recipe, I thought, my batter is still quite loose. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like cookie batter. It felt quite liquid. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe this is, you know, it's Kenji. I trust Kenji. Mm. But, in comparison to the other cookies, like even Alton Brown's, where I only, you know, refrigerate it for an hour. But that's what people were saying. It has to go hard in the fridge. And 20 minutes was not long enough for that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I thought that was interesting.
That makes a lot of sense. But still, just, you know, to go to all of them. I was really excited for them. And you go to a lot of faff and it's so specific. And then melty, melty, messy moo. And I wasn't impressed.
And I thought you weren't going to use my nickname.
Naughty, naughty, messy me.
I agree with all of that. And he does say in his, like, dissertation that he's writing all this so that you can kind of adapt as you see fit.
Yeah.
Like, with what you like. If you like a higher cookie, if you like whatever, you can change the different things if you know, like, the science behind it all. I was sad.
Yeah, meh. So, shall we rank our, from bottom to top, to add to the intrigue?
Oh, okay. So, drum roll. In fourth place, for me, was Felicity Cloaks.
Oof! I am shocked. But it worked.
What?
Kenji didn't work.
Yeah, but I feel like Kenji's tasted better.
Okay.
Like, the like, even that, like, soggy kind of texture. Like you said, I still ate them.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't eat the Felicity Cloak ones. They've kind of, they sat on the side.
Oh, that bad.
And didn't get eaten.
Interesting.
Not for me. Too dry, not for me. Maybe it was my fault.
No?
Maybe I'm the problem, it's me. Who was your fourth place?
Kenji. Fail. It's just, I wasn't angry. I was just disappointed. And maybe you're right. Maybe I should have let the brown butter cool more. Maybe it should have been more solidified. But God damn it, then tell me that, Kenji.
I don't... Well, that's it. Like, tell me it needs to go... Like, and then this... Anyway, this was then kind of solidified for me in my mind when I read that recipe for the carrot cake that you love from Ed Kimber with the brown butter cream cheese frosting. Yeah. And he says the same, right? You brown the butter and then it has to go hard before you make it into the icing, which makes sense, I suppose, for icing. Anyway, okay, third place. Yeah. You can go.
Felicity, I think, would be third for me. Now, that's hard. But I think I liked them more than you. But yeah, just a bit too cakey. A bit rock cakey.
Kenji was third for me.
Yeah, understandably.
Because
the dough still tasted good. Damn, that dough tastes good.
And, you know, I feel like you said that about Felicity there, like you were feeling kind of guilty for putting her third, but someone's got to be third, and I feel guilty for putting Kenji third or last because we know I love him. I will, you know, he's my Ottolenghi almost. Like I trust him implicitly with everything. But yeah, this one was not for me. Anyway,
yeah,
second place. Okay, so second place for me. Oh my god, I feel like I'm on Come Dine With Me.
I don't even think they rank people on The Voice, do they? They just spin their chair around. I hate that show.
I don't think I've ever watched that show.
Oh, it's truly shocking. It's unreal. It's so bad.
Second place for me was Ravneet. Ooh,
okay, yeah. Good, good.
Which obviously then puts Alton Brown in first, but you knew that anyway because I'd already told you that. They were close, but I was more excited and I felt like I wanted to keep going back to the Alton Brown ones and I didn't feel that about the Ravneet ones as much.
Okay, that's fair. And you can probably tell by my surprise that Alton would be second for me and Ravneet first. I think that they were just perfect to me. They were the perfect, like, shape, height, taste.
Delicious. What about the cookies?
Yeah, Ravneet. Hi. Hey, floppy socks.
Oh my god. My son is asleep, like, in the room right below me. I've got a nut.
Yeah, they were just great.
So that is from Hannah. That is Rav, Alton,
Clunky,
Felicity,
Kenji.
And then for me, for Victoria, that is Alton, Rav, Kenji, Felicity. So very different. Well, not fair. I mean, there's only four.
And I guess we're...
there's only so many combinations.
What we're saying is Alton and Ravneet are both top. Depending on whether you're like a kind of flat and chewy gal or a slightly bigger kind of crispy, gooey gal.
Yeah, and also whether you like the dark...
Brown sugar
or a light brown sugar. All great. We'll add them. They're all available online. So you can find them. What are your honourable mentions for chocolate chip cookies?
My honourable mentions are, to maybe to people's surprise, Alison Roman's chocolate chunk shortbread cookie. But that didn't seem to quite meet our criteria of a classic. Because you know how you roll it in the Demerara sugar, you roll the cookie
and log. And it's the shortbread.
Yes, exactly. It's not cookie.
But they are so fucking good. Like,
yeah.
They're my favourite thing in the whole world. Well, that's not true.
Your son, who's asleep downstairs, he sits upright in his cot.
But they are brilliant, and you should. They're also foolproof, I think.
Yeah, and second honourable mention from me would be Nadia. So I'm actually picking two chefs that I've really berated previously. Nadia has one in her book, Nadia Bakes. The only thing I don't like about them is they use almond extract, and I don't really love that.
Mm.
But I remember I've made a batch of those before and had them in the freezer, and they were great every single time. So I think they're another. They are another good one.
Interesting. I should try those. Almond extract always gives that like birthday cake kind of fake
marzipan,
which I quite like. Gross. Yeah, but I can see how. Yeah, that could be. There's a limit, isn't there? Like if you put too much of it in.
Yeah, my limit is zero.
I don't know if I have any other one apart from Alison Roman's. You know, if we're going beyond the boundaries of our. Of our rules for this episode, your Dory Greenspan ones with everything
oat,
in
peanut butter, chocolate chip.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
And then also a shout out for a random recipe that you sent me from your friend's house that you were staying at for those banana and chocolate chip cookies. Do you remember that you made?
I don't. And
then I made it and they were so good, and I don't know what book that was from.
Wow, I have no idea.
It was when you were cat sitting. And I think you made it for them when they came home. But it'll be in our messages.
Yes, we'll look that up and let you guys know what that was.
Yeah, they were spectacular. Like real, you know, you don't think about putting banana in cookies, unless you're, you know, like a child. But which I am.
We all are.
But yeah, they were great. But yeah, the Alison Roman ones.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss for me.
They are great. When you said about the banana cookies, I'm reminded of an Ottolenghi ding 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 recipe where it's like in sweet, where it's melted. I think it's like they're chocolate cookies and they have banana in them. And then you roll them in like icing sugar. And when they bake, they go this kind of beautiful crinkly way, and they're really soft from the banana, and they are great.
Yum, yum.
So, yes, that
is chocolate chip cookies.
That is chocolate chip cookies. I have no idea what this book is. But the recipe was brown butter banana. They mentioned to us too. Brown butter banana and tahini chocolate chunk cookies. And I think we should just post this recipe on our Instagram and then people will have it because we've got both of the pages here. We just won't credit whoever it is.
Agree. Definitely. That was great.
But listeners, we would love to hear what your classic chocolate chip cookie recipe is. What's your go-to? What did we miss out on? And also, we'd love to hear which other classic recipes you'd love us to cover. Because we might do a couple of more these season.
They don't have to be sweet ones.
No, can be anything. It can be your lasagna, except I won't make it with meat. I will make it with corn, just like Nana wanted.
Just like I did in the olden days. Soy-based crumbles. It could be, anything. Pie. Remember that Hannah is a vegetarian.
It's okay. Look, we don't have to limit the folks. We'll figure it out. Tomato sauce is one that we keep wanting to talk about because Marcella.
I think we definitely will.
Yeah, Marcella Hazan's, though, will be hard to beat, won't it? It's a bloody great recipe. Spoiler.
I don't know. Like, I know that, we've flagged her off. But Alison Roman has a really good tomato sauce recipe, like a buttery one. Which I think I talked about previously, but anyway, Okay. That is not for today.
This season is going to be all about us going back and like questioning our poor decisions about chefs that we've flagged off.
Alison Roman Sam season.
None of you saw coming. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, lovely friends. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
We hope you like this little, you know,
change of format.
Different episode. Yeah. And yes, you should let us know your favourite chocolate chip cookies and what you want us to do. And we love you. And we're excited to be back for season 3, baby.
Season 3, wildcard season, teamless season. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.